Because this, all these are, I think, regardless, when we practice, everybody's practicing both. There's no, you know, you do Ngondo or do prostration. These are all that you're putting these two wings together. But when we intellectually discuss about it, yeah, and then we make lots of assumption, then like it becomes more like topic of debate. I don't think anyone in Tibetan Buddhism is practicing just one way. Everybody is, you know, practicing together. That's no doubt. I think the difficulty comes from is that the more you have understanding how, you know, this, the dependent and the appearance are related, I think these difficulties becomes less and less. The more you have strong duality between the appearance and the emptiness, this comes up, because I think the problem is that, okay, when we say emptiness means there is no, yeah, no quality. And when you say quality, there is a quality, yeah. So we always put this into the category of existing and non-existent, because of maybe not wrong understanding, but because it's very difficult to understand this unity emptiness. So when you have this emptiness as a non-existent, then it's always talk about this quality. But when you understand this emptiness, unity emptiness, there is no other than the appearance, then you don't have much problem. Because once you have emptiness, there is a luminous. Even you don't want it here, you don't have choice. It will be together. So that's a little bit difficult. And then I think it's not also, it's more like, maybe rationally it's not difficult, you know. Oh, I can understand this table is both emptiness as well as appearance. But from my emotional point of view, to accept it, it's very difficult. I only have one answer, you know. It is emptiness or appearance. It cannot be both, you know? It doesn't make sense. So I think it's more coming from our the inner duality, habitual patterns, you know? And it's difficult to accept that how emptiness and luminous are united, you know? They're not different. And we always want it to be, say, one is right and another is wrong, you know. To put them together is very difficult. But actually, some Lama says that the luminous is nothing but the energy of the emptiness. That's very nice. Mm-hmm. Because as long as you have emptiness, you have that energy. Mm-hmm. And when you don't have that energy, you also don't have emptiness. Or your emptiness is energy-less emptiness that you cannot use for anything. Somehow we have, in the philosophical level, yeah, we have put this Buddha nature so high, yeah? Is it true? Because if you talk about the essence, it's difficult to understand. But actually, to practice, Buddha nature is supposed to be the like ground of your practice. Because it's the view, you know. For example, if I'm not certain that I can become a Buddha, then what's the point of whole path, yeah? You know, it's almost like just guessing, yeah? There's no certainty, so what you call a view. If Siddhartha becomes Buddha, why me, not me, you know? Yeah? And if I have this certainty, I can become a Buddha, then it really makes a very different to your whole practice. Even the, let's say, the practice of the refuge, you know, what's the point of refuge, you know? If you cannot become a Buddha, then nobody can give you refuge, you know? So actually it's a very important practice. Not only that, it is important these days, I think. That's why somehow people are interested in, and it's good. The reason is that this is because samsara is very seductive, you know, and so many pressure, and people are becoming more and more negative towards oneself and to others. Mm. And we're putting so many boxes, boxes, boxes in the name of security, yeah? Filling up this insecure, not knowing that actually there's a whole like Chakravartin like king inside of you, and you're just running around and looking for the refuge. That's one example. So these days, because if you look at depression, anxiety, yeah, all these are actually not understanding who you really are or who you really is, you know. And then you always look at outside, oh, can you help me, can you help me? So that's, I think, very relevant. And for example, even if you want to practice Four Noble Truths, if you have the foundation of Buddha nature, Four Noble Truths works very well. And especially, we are kind of very much deluded by the so-called the aspects of mind. You know, when I just look at my mind and the first aspect, oh, I'm so selfish, oh, I have so attachment, this and that. My mind is running here and there. Because we are so much into the aspects of mind, and we have no time to see the nature of our mind, and because of that, becoming enlightened seems almost like hopeless. To tame this mind, oh, it's impossible, yeah. But actually, we have an essence of mind, we have nature of mind, and then we have this appearance, you know, like obscuration aspects of mind. And when you do a little more introspection and see, oh, these are just merely advantageous, you know, obscurations. And actually, the reality of my mind is much more than that. And when you have that kind of certainty, and this is the, what you call the, actually a biggest insurance for your enlightenment travel. No matter what happens, you know, I have Buddha nature. Nobody can take it. I just need to polish it a little bit here and there, pour a little bit of water, you know. So we call it the tawa, the certainty mind towards your goal.